Well, at this time, I'm going to turn the rest of our Virtue Sunday celebration over to our special guest, and it's none other than Pastor Nicholas King out of California. And so we are so glad that you're with us on today, and we know that you have a word for the people of God from the heart of God. And so we're going to join our faith with you, Pastor, and we're going to make a demand on the anointing of God that is on your life. You know you have the freedom to obey the Holy Spirit. So we welcome Pastor Nicholas King. He's one of my spiritual sons, and he and his lovely wife, and I understand congratulations are in order.
Yes.
Wonderful, wonderful. So is this number two or three?
This will be number seven. This will be number seven.
The male seed, we celebrate.
Amen.
Pastor King, take it away.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. I'm so honored to be here and so honored to have the privilege to just preach the word of God. I think anytime I get the privilege to do that, my year, my day is well spent. So I'm just so thankful to be a part and so thankful to have the invite from you, Dr. Peggy, and look forward to sharing the word of God today. So let's do this. I would love to just kind of jump in and dive in. I have a good amount to cover that I want to make sure we actually get to. So let's jump in. I want to take us first to Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. We're going to start there, and then we're going to start working our way through this today. I'll give you my message title. We'll pray, and then we'll move forward in the word. So again, just so thankful to have the opportunity to just fellowship with you all and connect with you all online. And here's the thing about it. What I love is that the pandemic and all of that stuff that happened in 2020, one of the silver linings is that we get to connect across states, across countries. I mean, you think about it. This is imagine Paul in today's time and the ability to connect with people across different regions and countries and continents just through what we have, the internet. And so I am so thankful that I get to help spread the gospel. And while I'm here in California at 7 a.m., y'all are over in Virginia or wherever you're watching at your time. And just so thankful how the gospel can carry and how we can, you know, we can do some things that the disciples only wish they could have done in their time. But anyway, so glad to be with you all. Let's look at Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14. That's where we're going to start. So here's what it says. It says, God's readiness to give and forgive is now public. Salvation's available for everyone. Everyone has the opportunity to be saved. We're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life and how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. I'm going to say that again because I think that is one of the most important things to catch this morning. It says, look, we're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life. Think about social media and all the things that you see and experience and the highlight reels that we indulge in and how they make life look so glamorous and they leave out all the bad stuff, right? Social media, that's the idea, right? You show the best, hide the rest. So we're being shown how to turn our backs on a godless, indulgent life and how to take on a God-filled, God-honoring life. This new life is starting right now and is whetting our appetites for the glorious day when our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, appears. He offered himself, we're talking about God, we're talking about Jesus, he offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good, pure life, making us a people he can be proud of, energetic in goodness. I'm gonna say that last part again because it goes hand in hand with our message title today. He offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good, pure life, making us a people he can be proud of, energetic in goodness. And so here's the message title for today. If you are taking notes, and I hope you are, because whether you need this right now or you need this tomorrow, you want to have some notes to kind of refer back to. Put this in your back pocket, pull it out when necessary. But here's the title of my message today. The title of my message on this Father's Day is Best Dad Ever. That's the title. Best Dad Ever. Let's pray and then let's get into this. Lord, we just thank you this morning for the opportunity to come before you, to speak your word, to speak life over your people. God, I thank you for that privilege. God, I don't take it for granted. Lord, I pray that on this Father's Day, we would realize that we have the best dad ever. Whether our dads in life were present, whether they were absent, it doesn't matter. The reality is that we have a God that we serve that is the best dad, the best father ever, and he'll never change. And that is the beauty of who you are, God. And so we thank you for that. Today, let us hear this word, but let us not just hear it. Let us be doers of this word. Let it provoke us to action. Let it penetrate our hearts, God, and let your will be done today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So I'm gonna make sure I have my comments on just in case y'all can't hear me, just in case something funky happened with the audio. I want to make sure I'm tuned in and I don't keep talking while y'all are struggling to hear me or something. So I got my comments on. But best dad ever, best dad ever. So on this Father's Day, before we even dive into the message, here's what I want to do. I want to make sure we acknowledge those who have lost their fathers. You know, maybe this is your first year without dad. And if that's you, I empathize with you. I am there. This is the first year that my family has had to move forward in life and celebrate a Father's Day without our earthly father. And so for those of you who are going through that, I understand, but I want you to know that, you know, I'm with you. I'm with you. The pain of losing a father, it may never go away, but God is your peace. I want you to know that. And for all the deep saints, Jehovah Shalom, he is your peace. And I want you to know that. So if you've lost your father, trust in God. His hand is always there for you. He's always guiding you. He is the best dad ever. So I know dad on earth was great, and I know he did some awesome things, but you have a father who cares and understands what you're going through. The next thing for any of those who, you know, who want to be fathers, and maybe you're struggling to conceive, maybe it's just the timing and things just haven't worked out the way that you expected. I want you to know God understands and he is faithful. And so keep trusting him. He always provides. His timing is better than our timing. He knows. He knows what you need before you even ask. He knows what you need. He knows the best course of action and the best route for you to take. And so if you are struggling to conceive and you want to be a father so bad and it just hasn't happened for you, maybe you have all the tangibles and all the things to offer someone, I want you to know that God is faithful and he provides. Keep your eyes open for how he is maturing you, for how he is using you to father others and how he might use you in the future to father others. Just know that he provides. And the last thing I want to say is for those who don't have pleasant memories of Father's Day, maybe dad on earth was abusive. Maybe he was physically and emotionally abusive. Maybe he just wasn't the best dad. Maybe he wasn't ready for the role and you have resentment and you feel like, well, why bring me into this earth? Why bring me into this world if you weren't going to be the father that scripture tells us our God is? Why? Maybe you have all of those questions and Father's Day is a tough day for you to go through. I want you to know that God is a healer. So all of those open wounds that you might have, all of that heartbreak and all of that despair that you're feeling as a result of your relationship with your earthly father, I want you to know that God is a healer. He will bind up all of those open wounds. He will cover you. He will protect you. He will keep you. Maybe today is not a great day because of some offense. Maybe it triggers some emotional trauma or some trauma that you've experienced in your life. Whatever the reason is, I want you to know that God can heal those spaces. And maybe it's something you haven't told anyone else. God sees that thing and he is able to take care of it. Turn it over, put it into his hands. Let him heal you. Let him restore your heart. Let him be the best dad ever that he truly is. All you have to do is turn that burden over to him. Maybe today is not the best day for you. And I get it. I understand. But you have a father who cares for you, who will treat you better than any earthly father could ever treat you. All we have to do is trust him. And so I want to make sure you all hear me. Those who are struggling to conceive, those who have bad memories today, and those who have lost their fathers, I want you to know that God sees you. God understands. He's faithful. He will provide. He's with you. He'll heal. All of that. That is why he is the best dad ever. And then lastly, just a shout out to all the fathers out there. You are playing a pivotal role in the life of your children, especially in today's time when there's so much confusion in the world, where there's so much craziness happening. You as a father are playing a pivotal role. You have to understand that. And here's what I'll tell you. Take the pressure off of yourself. Because if you are teaching your children the will of God and the ways of God and the knowledge of Christ, if you are doing that, Dad, you are a success. I don't care if you're not a handyman. I don't care if you don't have the greatest business acumen. I don't care if you're not a sports dad. If you teach your children the word of God, you are a success. That is the definition of success in this life. When we know who Jesus Christ is, and as a father being responsible for your children, when you are teaching them the word and the will of God, that makes you a success. So give yourself a pat on the back, Dad. You are doing a great job. Keep it going, because at some point, you know, it's going to be up to them. But the Bible tells us, teach us the way they should go so that when they are old, they do not depart from it. So as a father, keep up the good job if you are teaching your children the will and the word of God. But as I was preparing for this message, you know, I started thinking about, you know, great fathers and, you know, thinking through, you know, my father and how awesome he was and all the things that he exemplified in his character and words that might describe him. I was thinking about that overall, like, what are some qualities that make great dads? And so if you're here and you're joining us, you can drop some words that you think make a great dad, put it in the chat, share some of them. But I was doing a little bit of research and I came across like this top 10 qualities of a great dad. And I started thinking about them. And I'm sure as I read these, some of y'all might agree and you might have similar words. But here's some of the things that came up. It said dependable. Maybe dad was there and he was present and he was consistently available. Maybe dad was dependable and that's what makes him great. Maybe he was involved. Again, we're talking about some qualities of great dads. Maybe he was involved. He was engaged with the kids in their lives and in their interests. And he was at the field, you know, every time a kid had practice, he was at every game, every recital, maybe every art show. Maybe dad was just there and he was involved. That's awesome. Maybe dad was compassionate, right? And I know this may not be the word that we use to describe dads all the time, but maybe he was compassionate. Maybe he had a mind and an attitude of being understanding and just, you know, he got it. Like anytime you had something to share, you could go to dad because he was going to understand and he was compassionate. Maybe he was empathetic, right? Maybe dad was able to put himself in your shoes. So no matter what you were experiencing, dad was able to pause long enough to understand what you were going through, to respond from a place that would help you and not by giving you advice that, you know, maybe you weren't ready to hear in the moment. Maybe he was empathetic and he slowed down long enough to understand what you're experiencing. That's great. That's a great dad. Maybe dad was emotionally intelligent. Maybe he had a high EQ, a high emotional quotient. Maybe he was just that dad where no matter what, he was self-aware, he was socially aware, he was able to take all of his feelings and everything that he was going through, and he was able to process those things in a productive way that now maybe you are emotionally intelligent because of that. That's awesome. Maybe he was human, right? So maybe he taught you, like, look, mistakes happen. You know, son, mistakes happen. Daughter, mistakes happen. But you got to get up and you got to keep moving. Maybe he was human. Maybe dad was honest, right? And again, we're talking about qualities of a good dad. Maybe he was honest. Maybe he told you like it is. He gave you the truth. Maybe it didn't always feel good to hear what he had to say, but it was good. Maybe dad was honest in that respect. Maybe he was industrious. Maybe dad was industrious, and that's what made him great. He had a great work ethic. Maybe that's who dad was. Maybe you learned your great work ethic from dad. Maybe he was just up before the sun. He shut it down after everyone else. Maybe he was just a hard worker and he was industrious. If maybe those words describe your dad, your earthly father, and that's so awesome. And I'm looking in the chat and I see some great ones too. Consistent. He was protective. He was strong. He was encouraging. These are all really good ones. Maybe these words all describe dad to us. And that is awesome. But can I tell you something? Can I clue you in on something just for a moment? It doesn't matter what words you use to describe your earthly father. It doesn't matter. He will never be able to amount to the best dad ever. And here's what I mean. The God that we serve, the God in heaven, is all of that, all of those words: industrious, human, honest, compassionate, empathetic, dependable, involved, strong, encouraging, consistent. He is all of that. And guess what? Come in, lean in a little further. And more, and more. God is everything that we've said this morning, and more. So whether we think dad is a hero, whether we think dad is the greatest person on earth, we better get it right. He is the great, he might be the greatest thing on earth to us, but we have a father who takes the cake when it comes to being a great father. We have a father who does extraordinary things. We have a father who is unconditional in all that he is and all of his love. No matter what words we use to describe our earthly father, he's great and that's awesome. But the God we serve, like we used to say it back in the day, is all of that and a bag of chips. He is everything to us, everything. Without this father, we have nothing. With him, we have everything. Our earthly fathers wouldn't even be able to measure up to who God is. I think about John the Baptist, who put it very plain and clear. When he saw Jesus, John the Baptist told his disciples, "You see that man over there? I'm not even worthy to tie up his sandals." And that's what I think about when I think about God. Today, we're not talking about comparisons. No, we don't want to compare earthly dad to our heavenly father. We know there's no comparison. And that's the thing that we have to understand, because oftentimes we are hurt and we feel resentment and we struggle with our earthly father because we have forgotten that our heavenly father is the only one who can heal certain areas of our heart. He's the only one who can change our heart. He's the only one who can see things before they happen. He's the only one who created us and knew us and formed us and had a purpose for us before we were even born. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He's the only one who knows our past, our present, and our future. He's the only one who knows what will amount to be. God that we serve, the God in heaven, is all of that and more. And that's the beautiful thing about today on Father's Day. No matter where you're at when it comes to your relationship with your earthly father, I want you to understand that you have a father who cares, a father who is willing to do more than you could even imagine or think. So much so that he lays it out in scripture how much more he is willing to do. And I love this. If we go back to our text today, in Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 14, look at what it says on that last text. I believe it's verse 14. He says he offered himself as a sacrifice to free us from a dark, rebellious life into this good and pure life. He offered himself. It wasn't, I want people to know this today, that when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus wasn't a martyr. Jesus was fulfilling purpose. It was in the plan all along for him to die on the cross for our sins. He willingly did that. He was a servant even on the cross. I think we have to understand that sometimes we think that Jesus was forced to the cross. Do we really believe that the Pharisees and the people of that day really forced Jesus on the cross? Have we forgotten that Jesus said, yo, I could call a legion of angels to pull me off of this cross right now if I wanted to. But he willingly went. And the God we serve, think about it. As Jesus was in the garden, he says, and he's praying to God the Father, and he says, look, if it's your will, take this from me. If it doesn't have to be this way, take this from me. Please. He was pleading in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was pleading. He said, look, if it is your will, take this from me. But at the end of that, he said, not my will, but yours be done. And it was in God's will for him to die on the cross for our sins. Jesus was not a victim in the garden. He was a volunteer. He was a volunteer. He went to the cross. He offered himself as a sacrifice. And the reason why he did it because he was freeing us from a dark and rebellious life. I get it. Dad is great and he is incredible and he will continue to be for as long as God allows him to live on this earth, and he will continue to steward who you are and your gifts and your purpose, all of that. Dad is great, but God, even his good is greater than Dad's best on earth. And that's what makes him the best dad ever. But as I was continuing thinking about this subject of best dad ever and thinking through some of those words that we describe dad, you know, again, industrious, honest, human, empathetic, emotionally intelligent, all those things, I started thinking, well, what makes God the Father the best dad ever? What makes him that dude, if you will? What makes him all that? And I just thought of three simple words. And today's message, you'll hear this message and you'll probably think, even now, like this is a simple and practical message. And these three words are very simple, almost elementary, but I think it's important that we remind ourselves what makes God so great. And not only that, and this is a newsflash and a side note, all at the same time for everyone watching, your relationship with God is not just for you. Your relationship with God is not just for you. Your relationship with God the Father is not just for you. So as we hear this message today, what I want us to do is be intentional about taking what we hear and sharing it with someone else, because I think it's important for us to remind ourselves what makes God the greatest dad ever. I think it's important for us to remind us of everything that God has done for us and how God takes the cake when it comes to best dads. And so I want us to take this word and take it into our neighborhoods. Go across the street to your neighbor. Go to your next door neighbor. Go to your coworkers. You know, now that we don't have masks on, they might be afraid to talk to you in person. I don't know. But go to your coworkers and remind them of this word. And today, as I share these things, I want you to write them down and take them to someone as a reminder of why God is the best dad ever. Outside of us just being sustained and being able to wake up this morning with breath and living and having our being, there are three things that make God distinctly the best dad ever. Here's the first thing. And again, we talked about all these words about dad: strong, courageous, encouraging. Here's what makes God the best dad ever. He's a redeemer. He's a redeemer. And there's a lot of words that we could use to describe our earthly fathers. Redeemer is not one of them. I mean, the word in itself is such a strong word. God is the best dad ever because he is a redeemer. And the simplest way to put that, he paid for our sins. He paid for them. Look at what 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says. Again, 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "My dear children, I am writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin," I love how he sets this up. "But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate." That's another great word to describe why God is the best. "We have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. Jesus Christ is he." He is Jesus Christ, the one who is truly righteous. Here's what it says. "He himself is the sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world." Dad might be the best coach to all the kids in the neighborhood. He might be the funniest dad, and all the kids in the neighborhood laugh at him. But Dad, our God, our Heavenly Father, paid for the sins of the entire world. And just so we're clear, the sins you committed yesterday, the sins y'all about to commit today, and the sins that hopefully you don't, or the sins that you will commit tomorrow, he paid for all of that. He is a redeemer. And redeemer just means he atones or makes amends for. And here's why this is such a crucial word and such a crucial point for us to understand. He's a redeemer. He paid for our sins. But the reason why this is so significant is because by definition, atonement is the act of the person who committed the wrongdoing trying to make it correct. So let me make that a little simple for us. So if I go and steal from a liquor store, then atonement means that I go and make that right. I go and fix that situation. When I atone for something, I fix my mistakes. But the reason why God is the best dad ever is because he sent his son to pay for our sins. He became that atonement. That means he took our place. So instead of us having to fix our sins, God sent his son, Jesus Christ, the son of, he sent him to do all of that for us. He sent Jesus to die on the cross to redeem us. He sent him to take your place. Can you think back for just a split second to all the sins that you've committed, every single thing that you've done wrong, every mistake that you've made, everything that you've engaged in that was not like God? Think about how horrible and how terrible your life was back then. And maybe you're still struggling today. No judgment here. But think about those things that you're doing that do not please God. Now think even longer about the fact that God sent his son to correct all of that for you. He's the best dad ever. He sent his son. That's what makes him being a redeemer so significant. It's the simple fact that Jesus is stepping in our place and died a death that we should have. And we might say this all the time. What makes a great dad? Someone who's willing to give up his life for his children, right? When we watch movies and we see things and we see maybe a child passes away in a movie, one of the things that the father might say is, "I wish it was me instead of them. I wish I was laying there instead of them. I wish it was me that left instead of them." Can I tell you that Jesus has already fulfilled that wish? Thank you, Holy Spirit. Jesus has already put himself in your place. Jesus has already said, "Because of your sin, I am willing to go to the cross and make atonement for all of those things. So that way you can have eternal life and you don't have to do it for yourself." Jesus stepped in and died the death that we should have died. And that's what makes him the best dad ever. He stepped in and he paid the ransom we should have paid. That was him. To make atonement, it also means to turn away punishment. Jesus stepped in and took the pain and the punishment and the anger and all of that. He took that on his shoulders. Here's what Mark chapter 10, verse 45 says. It says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." I'll say that again. Mark chapter 10, verse 45. "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and to give his life as a ransom for many." Christ has taken our place, doing for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. I want us to think about that for a minute. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I want us to think about that for a minute. That even if we went and died and had to pay for our sins, we couldn't. We couldn't. And so Christ did what we couldn't do for ourselves. We couldn't die for our sins. We couldn't. He did it for us. Even if we did, it wouldn't make it right. And so Christ had to be the one. He had to take the sins of the world on his shoulders. And he did that. Remember, in the garden, Jesus wasn't a victim. He was a volunteer. He went to the cross and sacrificed for us. Here's another reason that God is the greatest dad. He's the best dad ever. Earlier in our message here, we were sharing different words. If you're just joining us, we were sharing different words that describe how great our earthly fathers are. And we talked about how encouraging dad was and how awesome and how industrious he might be and emotionally intelligent and honest and humorous. But one thing, another word that describes why God is the best dad ever, because he's a savior. He's a redeemer. It was the first one. He's a savior. And here's what I think of when I think of God being a savior. He forgives our sins. Remember back in the New Testament when Jesus is during Jesus's ministry and the man is lame and he's on his mat and the man is expecting for Jesus to fix his deficiency and to fix his dysfunction and to fix his, not necessarily his dysfunction, but he was paralyzed. And so the man was expecting Jesus to fix that. And Jesus goes and he forgives the sins. And the Pharisees are there and they're standing there and they're thinking, how can this man forgive sins? They're not even saying it out loud. They're thinking it. And Jesus is like, yo, I hear what you're thinking. I'm God. Yes, I have the power to heal and but I also have the power to forgive the sins of the world. And that's what he did. The reason why God is the best dad ever is because he's a savior. He sent his son to die, not just to die, just because, but he forgives our sins. Here's what Acts chapter 4, verse 12 tells us. If you're following along with your Bible, awesome. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. If you don't have a Bible right now, that's okay. We got it on the screen here. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Here's what it says. "For Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures where it says, 'The stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone.' There is salvation in no one else." I want us to hear that today. In no one else. Earthly dad is great and he does amazing things and he can save us from the bully next door and he can save us from hurting ourselves and he can save us from making financial mistakes in life, but he can't save us for eternity. He can't save us. He can't give us eternal life. He can't give us the privilege and the opportunity to close our eyes when we pass away and in the twinkling of an eye, wake up and be in his presence, in the presence of God to have eternal life. Dad is great, but our Heavenly Father is greater because he has the ability to save us from our sins. He forgives us. He forgives us. There is salvation in no one else. God, we continue on in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. It's only through Jesus. That's what makes him the best dad ever, is that he forgives our sins. That means that when we mess up, when we get it wrong, when we don't get it right, when we do things that don't please him, he forgives all of that. He says, look, I am willing to take what you've done. I am willing to see it all, but still make an effort to forgive you. I forgive you. And we have all these experiences in life with dad where maybe we've messed up and dad has forgiven us. Maybe we haven't gotten it all right. Maybe we didn't get a great grade in school and we just couldn't cut it on the football field or whatever it is. Whatever mess ups we had in this life, dad on earth might have been able to say, hey, I forgive you. Yes, it's okay to make mistakes. Remember, we talked about dad being human. Yes, it's okay to make mistakes. Yes, it's okay for you to have not figured it out. Yes, maybe that's what dad did for us on earth. But can I tell you, if it wasn't for our Heavenly Father being able to forgive our sins and being willing to forgive our sins, it doesn't matter what kind of life we lived here on earth, the end would be the same. And so I'm so thankful that God is a savior, and that word, as potent and powerful as it is, describes only one person, and that is Jesus Christ. There is no other name by which we can be saved. There is no other avenue. There is no other father that we can go to who can save us. There is no other father who can forgive us except for our Heavenly Father. I don't care how big and how strong and how tough and how manly our earthly father was. What makes God the best dad ever is the fact that he is willing and literally saves us from ourselves. That's what makes him a great dad. That's what makes him incredible. That's what makes him the greatest, is that he is willing to save us from our sins. He forgives our sins. Here's the thing that I think about our Father, Jesus. Oh my gosh. See, the thing about it is that God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. Excuse me. God didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. That's not what we needed. So God didn't send a condemner. God knew that we needed a savior. So what did he do? He sent a savior. He knew that we needed to be saved. And that's who he sent. He sent a savior. And that's what makes him the best dad ever. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 through 12, I love this text of scripture. I'll say that again. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 10 through 12. Here's what it says. It says, "You are my witnesses, declares the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, so that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he." Continues on to say, "Before me, no God was formed, nor will there be one after me." I love this, because this is where God, like we say today, this is where God puts on the flex. He says, even I am the Lord, and apart from me, there is no savior. I have revealed and saved and proclaimed, I am not some foreign God among you. He's reminding us that he and he alone can forgive and save us. And that's what makes him the best dad ever. It's the simple fact that he made a way out of sin. Can you imagine living in a world where there was no way out of sin, where there was no door out of our transgressions, where there was no door out of our mistakes, where once we made a mistake, that was it, and that was the thing that caused our downfall? Can you imagine a world where we have no savior? Jesus was that savior. He made a way out of our transgressions so that we can have everlasting life. That's what makes him a great dad. And here's the last word that I used that came to mind when I started thinking about what makes God the best dad ever. Here's the word that came to mind. God the Father is merciful. He's merciful. And that's not a word that we use every day. As a matter of fact, I don't remember the last time I heard someone use the word merciful in a conversation or to describe a person on earth. What makes God the best dad ever is the fact that he's merciful. And here's what I think of when I think of that word merciful. He remembers our sins no more. Oh, think about this as we tie this all together. Think about it. The first word we use, he's a redeemer. He paid for our sins. He stepped in and paid and was the atonement. He made it right. He took our place. He took it upon himself and made us right with God. He alone had the ability to do that. He's a redeemer, but he's also a savior. He's a savior. He forgives our sins. He paid for our sins. He forgives our sins. But look at this last one. God being merciful, he remembers our sins no more. And look, some of us just need to hear that today. Maybe the other two points you got, check, done. But this last point is the one that I think a lot of us who struggle with acceptance, a lot of us who struggle with realizing that God is who he is, that he's faithful, that he loves us, that he doesn't want to condemn us, that he doesn't want, he wants the best for us. What we need to remember is that God himself has said, I will remember your sins no more. We spend a lot of time holding ourselves to the fire for things that we did in the past. We spend a lot of time dwelling on our mistakes. Maybe this morning you are watching this broadcast and you're thinking about all the things that you did wrong in your past. And you start downgrading yourself. How can I be such a loser? How can I be such a mess up? How can I never get it right. I'm always doing something wrong. I did all of this in the past, but even today I'm holding myself to those standards of what I did in the past. What you have to understand and what I want you to get is that God himself has said, I will remember your sins no more. That is a privilege that God says, yes, I understand you did it. Yes, it is what it is. But listen to me. I will remember your sins no more. And here's where we see that in scripture. In Hebrews chapter 8, verse 12, it says, for I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. So you think about all the times that you just didn't exhibit righteousness in this life. You think about all the times that you just didn't get it right and you messed up. And yes, it was probably the worst time of your life. And maybe you messed up last night and now you're beating yourself up about it. I want you to understand that God promises, I will be merciful to their unrighteousness. He is merciful. And their sins and their lawless deeds, I will remember no more. Here's what it says in the New Living Translation. And I will forgive their wickedness, and I will never again remember their sins. Now, you might be saying, look, I hear what you're saying, but that idea of remembering sins no more makes me think of a word that probably is not as flattering. And you might be thinking of forgetfulness. Is God forgetful? And I want you to understand this fact. When it comes to God remembering our sins no more, it is not the fact that God is forgetful. It is not the fact that he forgets anything. It's the simple fact that when he says that, I will remember your sins no more, what he's really saying is, I will not use your sins against you. That's what he's saying. Your mistakes, I will not use against you. I will not hold you to your mistakes. I will not bring up your mistakes. I will not make you feel bad for the things that you've done. I will not take the thing that you did yesterday and bring it into your today's. When you have asked for my repentance, when you have asked for my forgiveness, I, your God, your Father in heaven, will never use those sins against you. I will not use those things as the reason why you don't make it into heaven. When you have asked for my forgiveness, when you have asked, when you have repented, when you have prayed a prayer of salvation, God tells us and he promises, I will remember your sins no more. We see Jesus doing this throughout scripture. What he says to people, oftentimes when he heals them, go and sin no more. When he forgives of sins, he tells people over and over in scripture, go and sin no more. And this is what God is telling us. I will remember your sins no more. I won't use them against you. Go and sin no more. And that's what makes God the best dad ever, is that even though we make mistakes, even though we mess up, even though we don't get it right sometimes, he says, look, salvation and repentance is found in me. My mercies are new every single day. And when you come to me and you give me those burdens and you trust me with your life and you commit yourself into my hands, I will remember your sins no more. That's who God is. He's merciful. He's merciful. As I was thinking about this word, I started thinking about some of y'all deep Christians and some of you Christians who are so theological in your thinking. And this word merciful just reminded me of this idea of the mercy seat. And if you don't know what the mercy seat is, the mercy seat was basically this slab of gold. It was like this rectangular slab of gold that was on the Ark of the Covenant. And if you don't know what the Ark of the Covenant is, the Ark of the Covenant is where the presence of God used to be housed in the Old Testament. And can you believe that people actually had to go to a specific place to experience the presence of God? What makes Jesus the best dad ever is also, as a side note, the fact that he went to the cross, and when he did that, he tore the veil in two, which gave us all access to God the Father. It gave us all unfiltered, unlimited access to experience God for ourselves, no matter where we're at. That's a little bit of a tangent, but that's important to understand, because that makes up the foundation of Christianity and who we are, and that Jesus gave us all access to God the Father by tearing the veil in two. But we used to have to go and see and experience God's presence at the Ark of the Covenant. And there was a mercy seat, and that mercy seat was over the Ark of the Covenant. And it was symbolic and significant. And that mercy seat was basically where they would sprinkle the blood of the bull. And that was the sacrifice. And that mercy seat and that space, and when they sprinkled the blood of the bull, it represented repentance. And they would repent for the sins of the previous year when they did that. And that blood and that sacrifice and the mercy seat all was kind of where repentance would happen. But can I tell you the beautiful thing and the wonderful thing about Jesus being our Father and our God is the simple fact that when he went to the cross and his blood was shed, he became that mercy seat. His death, his blood being shed, was symbolic of that mercy seat. He literally became the mercy seat. So when we are struggling with our mistakes, when we are struggling with life, and we are messing it up, and we're not getting it right, and we have so much unrighteousness, we can go to the mercy seat of Jesus Christ and find forgiveness. And he remembers our sins no more. Jesus is the symbol of mercy. It's not just a word to describe him. It's who he is. He's merciful, and he remembers our sins no more. He just says, I won't use it against you. I know you've made mistakes, and I know you've done things that if everyone knew about, they probably shun you from the community. I know you've done things that you said you would never do again. And I know you've made mistakes this morning, and I know you know, I know there'll be troubles ahead, and I know there'll be things that you do that may not please me. You won't get it right. You're not perfect. But the beautiful thing about God is that he promises to not use our sins against us when we've committed ourselves to him, when we've asked for his forgiveness, when we accept the free gift of salvation. He says, look, I will remember your sins no more. And that's the beautiful thing about Jesus. That's the beautiful thing about our dad. That's the beautiful thing about who we are. When I think about God's mercy, I think about the game, that game mercy. Remember when you were a kid and you used to play the game mercy and, you know, you would be two people and you would put your hands together and squeeze and squeeze and squeeze. And finally, when one person has had enough, they would yell, mercy, mercy, mercy. The feeling that you got when you finally got to release hands, the feeling that you got when you no longer felt the pain of being crushed by the weight of the game, that you no longer felt crushed and your hand no longer felt powerless and you no longer felt like you were going to die when you shouted mercy and there was a release, that feeling, that's what Jesus wants to do for your life. He is merciful. He is willing to give you peace and comfort. He is willing to break the chains of bondage and sin, all of that. That's who Jesus is. And all we have to do is call on him. That's it. That's it. There's nothing else. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to get it right. All we have to do is recognize who Jesus is. Trust in Jesus. Call on his name. Ask for that forgiveness. And he's willing to give us that forgiveness. That's who Jesus is. That's him. That's that feeling of mercy and breaking that hold. When we call on Jesus, it's like saying mercy, mercy, mercy. And he swoops in and he takes care of us every single time. Every head bowed and every eye closed this morning. Lord, we just thank you for who you are. God, we just thank you on this Father's Day that we might remember the mistakes of our earthly father. We might remember the greatness of our earthly father. We might remember all the wonderful things in between that made our father on earth who he is. We thank you for him. But God, there's no one that can replace you as a father. For every single person who's listening and you are hurting because you've experienced life without a father, or maybe the relationship with your father is tumultuous and maybe there's trauma there and maybe there's all these negative connotations when you just think of the word dad or you think of the word father. I want you to know that we have a heavenly father who promises to be everything you need. We have a father who promises to give you eternal life. You no longer have to die to your sin. You no longer have to be in a pool of your mistakes without rescue. You no longer have to live life without peace or comfort. You no longer have to struggle. You no longer have to experience the heartbreak that life has to offer us. We have a father who is willing to give us peace, who is willing to give us every single thing that we need. And today, I pray that you would call on that father. I pray that you would realize that regardless of the relationship we have with our earthly father, he is the best dad ever. And there's nothing that can change that. And so we thank you for that today. And as we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, and you might be watching virtually, I don't want to miss an opportunity to give you space to get your life together, to pray a prayer of salvation. So I want to do that today. Before I turn it over, I want to make sure that we have that moment. What better gift could we give our Father in heaven than to say, I accept who you are and I accept you as Lord? That's the best gift that we can give the best dad ever, is to say, I trust you. Here is my life. Be Lord over it. So today, if you're watching virtually, if you're watching with others, whoever you're watching with, wherever you're hearing this, I want you to pray this prayer. If you're saying, look, I need to get myself right with God. I want to experience that peace. I want to experience who he is and all that he has to offer. Today, I want to pray this prayer with you. And so you can repeat after me wherever you're at. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, I know that I am a sinner in need of a savior. So today, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead. As a result of this confession, today I am saved. Today I am saved. Today you are saved. This is the best decision that you will ever make in your life. The greatest decision that you will ever make in your life. And I hope those you're watching with are celebrating with you. The angels are rejoicing with you. I am celebrating with you. I think this just makes my Father's Day that much more sweeter that you have come into the knowledge of Jesus Christ and you have given your life to Him. Now, let me tell you this before I turn it over. It'll get difficult and challenging before it gets easier. The enemy is going to do everything in his power to negate this prayer. He's going to do everything in his power to make you feel like this prayer was worthless. And I want you to understand, this prayer has no magical power. There's nothing magical about it, but it's actually what you believe in your heart that changes the game for your life and your eternity. So while it might get harder, I want you to bury that confession in your heart. I want you to put it in there so deep that no matter what the enemy tries, he'll never be able to take that away from you. And I want you to live knowing that you have a Father who is pleading on your behalf, who goes before God on your behalf, and who wants the best for you. We have the best dad ever. And that's why. So I'm thankful for you. Thankful for all of you watching and all of those who gave their life to Christ. This is the best day ever. And so I am so grateful for you. And I'm thankful for having the privilege of being with you all.